GNC601. It's Thursday, August 12th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a very proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Everyone, I got a great show for you. Bandwidth here absolutely sucks. So those of you on Ustream today, sorry, it's just the way it is. And hope that you'll bear with me. But you guys know what comes next, right? So get ready. Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from a undisclosed location via the Geek News Central portable studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link at the website. Of course, get subscribed to our shows as well. You can find the RSS subscription there either via iTunes, Zoom Marketplace. Get subscribed to the podcast. So that way you never miss a single episode every day or twice a week. And you get signed up for our newsletter. Our newsletter contains all the content that I'm going to talk about tonight. And really, it has all the links, all the information sent in by listeners like you. If you have comments on today's show, send them to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. I'll call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. First of all, yes, just as Trucker Tom says, I am like way beyond jet lagged. I've had very little sleep over the last 48 hours. Things have been pretty crazy here, and the reason I said a top secret undisclosed location is that if I reveal the location, you guys will very quickly figure out what consumer electronic company I'm visiting. And I cannot do that at this point. Some of you may have figured it out from some things I had said or done or tweeted, but I'm not disclosing. But it's been a great week here in the location I am in, and I do have a quick thing to share for you before I get into my regular rapport about what's been happening and then get into the tech content. When I checked in for my flight in Honolulu Monday afternoon, the guy didn't secondary check my bag that was my computer bag, but he should have, because a big fat stainless steel fork was in my computer bag. And you say, well, why was that? And I think what it was is I had a lunch meeting one time and I brown bagged it, and then my wife had thrown in a fork and I wanted to throw the brown bag away, and instead of throwing, I put it in my bag. So that will go. Matter of fact, it's going right now into the checked luggage, so we won't get pulled aside by TSA as I'm leaving very early tomorrow morning. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being subscribed. Of course, we're on show number 601. I had some significant response to show 600. A lot of email has come in asking specifically not to be read on the air. And there's been some feedback from the latest Geek News Central Insider as well. We'll go into a couple of those comments that people sent back on the Insider. It'll be kind of inside information for the insiders. But I do want to clarify one thing. A couple of people had said I should have been more clear when I was talking in show 600 and talk about the history of where we've come, what we've done. One thing I said during the show was that, at Raw Voice, we had done a lot of things for new content creators and literally, talked about the money we're putting in their pocket and really how few podcasters have ever really said thank you. And boy, that touched a nerve, because some people thought I was talking about those of you that are, non-podcasters, regular Ohana that listen to the show, and a few podcasters also kind of took note of it well, and I got a mixed bag of, I kind of thought about it later and thought, yeah, that was going to drive a reaction. But really, it was just one of those kind of off-the-cuff, true heartfelt moments. And it is what it is, and I stand by my comments, hopefully within the context that I meant to say them. But for the new media creators that listen to this show, that work with us, that actually sent me emails in regard to that comment, I do appreciate your response. And believe me, we love you guys, and we wouldn't be a business without you. And so, you know, we thank you for being customers of ours as well. So let's move on beyond that and talk a little bit about what's going on with the show, what's happening with me. Tomorrow morning, get on an airplane, head back to Honolulu. I get in early, about 11 o'clock in the morning. So if you guys want to do a little bit of, I guess for better words, investigation, kind of figure out maybe the location I'm in, but I get home early. And that's generally not possible from the, you know, the East Coast. Let's see here. What else is going on? I'll be back next week for a full week of shows, and then I'm going to be going out to the East Coast and be out there for a week, and then back home for just a couple of days. And then at the very end of the month, I'll be headed out to the Set Top Box Conference in San Jose in Silicon Valley. So looking forward to going to that and some other events that we're going to be, Angela's going to be attending separately as well. But anyway, just that's kind of it on the schedule for the rest of the month. Many of you that are watching the show on the Roku had trouble on the last show watching. I've replaced the media file that was up. So hopefully now if you want to watch a show 600 on the Roku, it's not going to freeze after 30 seconds or whatever it was causing it to freeze. I have no idea what happened there, but I did put up a replacement media file. So show 600 is up now. Don't know if I'm going to get, well, yes, I don't know how this is going to work, because I don't think I'm going to be able to push the show 601 video until I get home. And to have done very few of these to the Roku from this portable rig, so this would be a good test anyway. Some of you asked me on the last show where you could watch a show on Justin TV. Now, I'm only going to be doing Justin TV when I'm home. I can't. You look at the bandwidth tonight, and the bandwidth just sucks here. So we're going to be only pushing to Justin.TV. When I'm back in Honolulu in the studio there, and it's justin.tv/geeknews is where you can find the show on Justin TV. Let's take care of a little business here, then we'll get into some more comments, and then we'll get into the tech, of course. Hey, of course, if you're looking for domain names, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, you name it, really GoDaddy is the place to go. And I've got some great promotion codes, especially for new customers of GoDaddy. If you have never used their service before, you can get .com domains at $1.99 by using my code GEEK199. Geek199 will get you a .com or a number of .com domains at $1.99 by using that Geek199 code. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account purchase. Of course, you can use my other promo codes, Todd, like to save 10% on non-domain orders. Todd20 on orders $20 or more will save you 15%. So all my promo codes are at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can get all the promo codes over there and fit the one that will save you the most money on your purchase. So I want to thank GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here, of course, at Geek News Central, and we really appreciate them. You know, I travel a lot. You guys know that I've spent 62, 63 days so far this year on travel in hotel rooms. And, you know, it always happens when you get ready to go on the road, something happens. I hadn't been in my location here more than about 12 hours, and my son called me. Actually, it was the first morning that I was here, and left me a voicemail and said, "Dad, the car's making a funny noise." And my wife has a Nissan minivan, and I don't know how old it is, but it's approaching 100,000 miles on it. You know, I drive vehicles till the wheels fall off. We maintain them and take care of them, of course. The most miles I ever put on a vehicle that I sold was 676,000 miles. And so anyway, long story short, he says it's going So I called her, and transmission. Something is not good with the transmission. So she's like, what do I do? And I'm like, well, you know, definitely if you get home, if you get home tonight, park it and drive my car. My car's is only a year old, and I have a Mazda CX-9, so fit the kids fine. She's driving that now, I'm sure enjoying it much better than her car, so I know what's going to happen when I get home. I'm going to be facing two ultimatums. One, buy her a different vehicle, or two, get hers fixed and then have to get a rental car for a few days while it's getting fixed. But you know, it just goes par for the course, and so I'm going to get in the shop, see what's going on, but I could foresee a $3,000 bill. Nothing is cheap in Hawaii. It's just more expensive. You know, a transmission you can get done in the, you know, $1,500-$1,600 probably in the mainland. Hawaii, it's, you know, I'm already thinking $3,000. So, you know, it's just life, but it's better than a car payment. The vehicle is paid for. It's better than a car payment. But I may get my arm twisted a little bit here as she puts a hammer down on me, and maybe I'll be going to car dealers this weekend. Who knows? But anyway, it's just the way it is. All right, I'm going to try something new. And what I'm going to do is, for those of you that are longtime listeners of the show, those of you that listen over the weekend, I'm going to give you guys a chance. I want to get this implemented probably by Monday. So, you know, if you hear about this a little later, don't worry. I guess you'll be able to get involved. But for the very first time, what I'm going to do is I am actually going to be paying to have folks promote this show through sponsored tweets and Facebook mentions. If you feel like mentioning specific items that I will lay out in a document that you'll get, I'm going to go ahead and do a sponsored tweets and sponsored Facebook messages from the Ohana. So if you're willing to, you know, once or twice a month, and basically it's going to be this fully announced sponsorship. You'll be able to say, hey, this is a sponsored tweet, but check out my, you know, the show I like to listen to, you know, Geek News Central, and it basically will have some tweets like that. I'm going to try this as an experiment to see how that works. We've had some great success in some other campaigns we've been doing at Raw Voice. I said, boy, if it's done that good with some of our regular advertisers that we do, maybe you ought to try it with the show. So if you're willing to do a participate in a sponsored tweet program, and I'll reveal the details to those that send me an email, all you have to do is send an email to geeknews@gmail.com, put on that email or in the subject of it, sponsored tweets. I'll add you to the mailing list, and I will email everyone the details next week. The key here is, though, I will ask that you not disclose what we're going to be doing. And the second thing is you can opt out even after you decide if, you know, you want to see what the details are. So if you decide it's not for you and it doesn't make sense, then again, no issues whatsoever. But we're going to try this out. Again, it'll be a sponsored paid tweet or Facebook mention, and we're going to be doing this probably for the next 6 weeks. And what I'm going to put up on the table here initially is whoever does participate and is driving the most links back to the pages that we call out for, beyond getting paid for the sponsor tweet, will be in running for a nice big fat $100 bill. So we'll play with that, and we'll see how that goes. So if you're up for it, let me know. geeknews@gmail.com, sponsor tweets, the subject tag, and we'll see how this works out. All right. Okay, I'll be home for a week and then off to the East Coast. And again, this week was great. I had some major meetings with a consumer electronic device manufacturer. And those went very well. So going home with high hopes, and we'll be back in the studio again next week. All right, as a reminder, geeknewscentral.com/offers is where all the offers are at. If you want to become an insider, hey, and I tell you what, a lot of you that are on the insider group responded to the insider video and were happy. If you're an insider and did not get the email, email me immediately, because I double cross-track and triple-check the mailing list. But if you think you're supposed to be on it and you didn't get the email, email me immediately. Say, Todd, I'm an insider. How come I didn't get the email? And I'll fix that right away. If you're looking for gear for the show, go to cafepress.com/Ohana store, pick up a t-shirt, wear your GNC t-shirt, or you know, pick up a coffee mug. That is being run by our one of our Super Ohana, and that's Sam, and he lives out in Albuquerque. I want to thank Sam for continuing to run the Ohana store. Also, if you're on Twitter and you want to, you know, basically interconnect with the audience members, make sure you use hashtags GNC or Ohana. Okay, let me look here at my list, and oh, I know what I need to take care of. Hey, have any of you had troubles filling out the form on Infusionsoft that I referenced the other day? I know that there was a few people that had trouble putting in their telephone number. I've been assured by the folks at Infusionsoft that that has been fixed. So feel free. There's a link on the website that actually a banner on the website, and it'll be show note link too as well, that you'll be able to go to and give that a try again. I guess we overwhelmed them a little bit, but make sure if you had trouble that you go over there and check that out. Hey, as you guys know, Go to Meetings has been a longtime sponsor of the show, and I was sharing with an individual that I was meeting with about, you know, how our company structure is, and they were amazed that we were really able to do, in essence, virtual offices. And I talked about our strategy using GoToMeeting, and what was kind of interesting about it was during the presentations and discussions I was having, I actually had a GoToMeeting session up and running with a mic that was able to pick up desktop conversations. So I had a couple team members on. We were able to go back and forth on PowerPoint, and it was kind of cool, the interactivity. It wasn't like this normal death by PowerPoint stuff, but I was able to bring in team members that weren't here to an actual true meeting using the GoToMeeting technology. So I thought that was pretty awesome. So if you are a business person and you want to save time, save money, you don't have to travel so much or use a, you know, be able to bring other team members into a meeting when you're actually having a meeting at another location, GoToMeeting is really the absolute best tool for that. You can get a free 30-day trial by going to GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for a free 30-day trial. All right, let me go ahead here and open up my show notes. We'll get at the end of the show, we'll have email comments to go over, and also a voicemail that has come in. And one thing for sure, just as a reminder here, you can submit comments, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline again is 619-342-7365. Hey, I had to got a comment on, there's a bunch of stuff on Google today, and I'm sure you guys were prepared for me to talk about them as I've been able to analyze a little bit more about what they came up with, a privacy comment and some response that they've made today in regards to basically the public outcry to them selling out to Verizon, and you know, their do not evil mantra is not necessarily holding up to the you know, to the pure light, pure white light at this point. But Ace Adults are on his web blog. Of course, now as a disclaimer here, Ace is heavily involved in Firefox. I don't know if he's a programmer, but I know he's one of the team members over there that are involved in the rollout of Firefox. But he has a comment that he made on his website that I think is worth reading in entirety. He says, "I raised a flag a while ago, perhaps I wasn't as far off base as many suggested at the time, when Google CEO Eric Schmidt had this to say last month." And this is what Eric Schmidt said. He said, "In a world of asynchronous threats, it is too dangerous for there not to be some way to identify you." So here we've got the guy at Google who basically, you know, if Big Brother's watching, it's definitely Google. They know what we do, what we move, what we search for. Really, they could the data they have could be quite incriminating and dig into our privacy in a very deep way. But anyway, Asa goes on to say, "Sounds a lot like the same argument underlying earlier remarks, where privacy is only used for people who have something to hide, except this time it's anonymity. Apparently, the only people that want anonymity are people who would use it to mask wrongdoing." And I don't think that's true. I think, you know, and I'm, of course, these aren't his comments, but I'm just saying, well, that was, but what I'm saying is that I think we all want to maintain a certain level of privacy. Now, obviously, I'm public facing. I have a public website. I'm on the net. I do streaming stuff. But there are still certain things that I keep private that I don't share with my audience of this show. It's just the way it is. And you guys do the same thing. There's certain things you allow to be publicly online, but there's stuff. You're not going to talk about marital problems. You're not going to talk about, there's a whole bunch of just a litany of issues that you probably would not talk about online. Some people would, but I know I wouldn't. And, it's just a... But yet, I'm sure Google knows that when spouses are having trouble and someone searches divorce lawyer, they could go, oh, someone's having marital problems. So I think we all expect a certain level of privacy. And Asa goes on to say, this is seriously flawed reasoning, and it continues to scare me that the CEO of the company that owns more people's private data than any other would expose such beliefs. And... I agree. I absolutely agree completely with this. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Google's response to their drug deal that they made with Verizon. And now we'll just get into it here in a little bit. But on a more friendlier note, we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the Android/Chrome space. Now you're able to, have you guys heard about this application called Chrome to Phone? And again, this isn't a new product. Many of you have been probably using it since May, but Google's second mobile announcement today behind the voice actions is that its continuous client app is now official and available to all users with Android 2.2 via the Android Market. As it was before, websites can be pushed from the Chrome browser to your Android device with certain apps, Maps, YouTube, of course, taking over the browser when contextually appropriate and so forth. But anyway, this is reported over on Engadget. So I don't have an Android, but I was talking with an individual today who has one, and I wish I had seen this earlier and been able to say, hey, what have you used this feature before? Have any of you out there used Chrome to Phone? If you haven't, give it a try. Let me know what you think and what the usability of this is. Email me at geeknews@gmail.com. And next article up is from newtv.com. Time Warner today announced that they are developing an iPad app. They're definitely jumping on the iPad bandwagon. And, of course, they had to make an announcement as compared to what Comcast made last week. But this is the... This is pretty big for Time Warner. They usually aren't on the cutting edge, but Time Warner showed off in a series of YouTube videos will allow subscribers to navigate through their available content with an interactive programming guide along with a remote control and DVR scheduling capabilities. But goes on to say on the GigaOM, actually new TV site, is that the real killer application in Time Warner plans is the ability to tie its TV Everywhere streaming content into the device, which will enable subscribers to view on-demand content from channels that they've subscribed to wherever they happen to be. So this is pretty cool. We'll see more information on this as the time rolls out and what hardware requirements are going to be. But they're making the jump here, so this is good. Now the question is, what kind of a DVR do you have to have, or is this going to be managed from the cloud? All right, I know there's a number of Space Trek fans that are listening to this show, and let's be straight up here. Those of you that were old enough to see the original release of Star Trek, you know how revolutionary that was and trend-setting. It was before the days of really computer animated graphics, and what computer animated graphics there were was pretty primitive. But the Droid 2, R2-D2, has been spied in the wild, and the folks at Verizon are going to be introducing an R2-D2 Droid 2 phone, again available via Verizon. Verizon has a teaser site out. They are going to make a limited number of these things available. You can go to droiddoes.com/R2D2 to get a little more information on this. But this is a This is the ultimate nerd phone, and I'm sure many of you are going to want to have an R2-D2 phone. How much do you think Verizon paid Lucas for that? I'm sure. the man just keeps raking in the money, doesn't he? My goodness. Hey, we talked about the Clear iSpot on a couple of shows ago, and of course, the Clear iSpot is a device that is basically it's a EVDO or WiMAX card that you can use. Actually, it's a WiMAX device, not a card, that you connect up to, I think, 5 or 10 iPhone-type devices to it and actually get access via Wi-Fi on the Comcast network. Now, they had made this relatively inexpensive. They had priced it at $25 a month plan. Again, you could connect, I think, up to 10 devices. And forgive me if I'm wrong on the number, 5 or 10, one of the two. But the iSpot device has been hacked already. So what they've done is they've jailbroke the iSpot and unlocked it so that now you can connect any device to the iSpot and really get Clear WiMAX service at a much lower price than what you would normally have to pay for their standard card that you can use with any device. So I'd be forewarned out there that this could cause your service to be canceled. I'm sure the folks at Comcast will be watching the traffic, and but this is bound to happen. Now, they're getting pretty good at jailbreaking this stuff and unlocking and releasing restrictions on different devices. And this is just another piece of the ongoing battle, that's for sure. Well, the folks over at Engadget over the weekend talked about the upcoming Apple TV, which is being purported to be renamed the iTV. And everything that we've been hearing so far on the new iTV is supposedly going to be called, is going to be based on the iOS operating system, and that the price point will be $99. But instead of being able to do 1080p, it appears that it's only going to be able capable of doing 720p clips. And this is partly responsible that the A4 CPU that is going to be inside the iTV device doesn't have the requisite horsepower to get 1080p. Now, I find this really hard to believe that the current Apple TV does 1080p just fine, that the folks at Apple would go backwards and have the device only capable of doing 720p out. But if you look at set-top boxes like the Roku, that only does 720p. So maybe they're feeling that they can afford to do this to get back in the game. So supposedly price point on that's going to be $99. It's a big target out there. If it's $99, a Google TV is going to have their hands full. Roku folks are going to have their hands full. Boxy, etc. So we'll see how this all plays out. Hey, there was a poll done where 53% of Americans don't want the government to push broadband to poor and rural areas. Now, why do they always respond to? Why do they always consider people that live in rural America as poor? I guess they say broadband to poor and rural areas. So this is pretty shocking. A national survey of 2,252 adults by Pew found that 11% thought broadband should be a top priority, 30% think it's an important priority, 27% said it was not too important, and 26% think that it should not be attempted all by the government. You know, if the government wants, you look at the money that they're spending. If they want to invest money in infrastructure that's going to help this country compete, you know, we've all paid AT&T enough money over the years in our subsidy charges. In the phone companies. So, you know, what's a few more billion to roll out broadband to rural and poorer areas of the United States? I think at this point, I don't know if I want to even classify it this way, but I think internet at this point is almost, you know, needs to be one of those things that is assured as a right. You know, how about a constitutional amendment for broadband as a in ALBL right. You know, you can bear arms, but you also are allowed and guaranteed to have access to internet. Is that a constitutional amendment you can get behind? I'm sure some of you are rolling your eyes, but it's pretty sad. 53% of Americans don't want the government to push broadband. See, they're not going to be pushing. They're going to be subsidizing companies to get into the rural America. You know, maybe I'm biased. You know, maybe I lived in the country. I understand what it is to go without cable TV. I understand what it's like to go without broadband. I know what it's like to be stuck on dial-up. And you try it for a week or two. I encourage you to sign up and get a dial-up account and, you know, do that for a few weeks and tell me how it feels. Would you like to support? I mean, I'm sure those people, if you force them to go on dial-up for a few months, or maybe a year or two or three, they may change their public opinion on that. All right, Android users, I love TweetDeck. And I use it on my iPad. So definitely check out TweetDeck. It's now available. There's a beta for the Android version available, and it looks pretty nice according to the screenshots here. So check out TweetDeck. It's now available online. I'll have a link up to it in the show notes for you. All right, let's talk a little bit about this Verizon-Google drug deal that was made over net neutrality. We should not be surprised. The AT&T has come out and said a reasonable framework. AT&T calls the Verizon-Google net neutrality proposal as very reasonable. When AT&T agrees with what Verizon says and Google says, you know that there is something that stinks. And there's a great, and I think the absolute best write-up of this came over on GigaOM, and they responded to Apple's response they put up on their public blog today, where Google has said they haven't sold out. So here, you know, given the political realities, and this is a quote from Google, and here, let me just start and read this a little more closely. The Post explains that Google hasn't sold the tech industry out, but instead was engaged in a form of real politic by getting in bed with Verizon because nothing was getting done at the FCC and in Congress. And we all know that Congress has been dragging their feet, you know, with the lobbyists, Verizon spending how many millions of dollars being the top tech lobbyists in the country, and with AT&T following closely behind, Google right in there and running as well. I think we know why there hasn't been action in Congress. But anyway, going on to say, but given the political realities, this particular issue has been intractable in Washington for several years now. At the time, there are no enforceable protections at the Federal Communication Commission or anywhere else against even the worst forms of carrier discrimination against internet traffic. With that in mind, we decided to partner with a major broadband provider on the best policy solution we could devise together. We're not saying this solution is perfect, but we believe that a proposal that locks in key enforceable protections for consumers is preferable to no protection at all. Now, let's go down. Let's talk about them exempting wireless. Google says that the compromise was good. In other words, no neutrality rules for the wireless folks. In other words, Verizon, which has Android phones, which Google provides the Android operating system to Verizon. AT&T with Android phones. No compromise there, of course, because, you know, Verizon networks, wireless networks don't have to worry because there's competition, right? Anyway, Google says the compromise was good, even if the wireless isn't included, because until this point, there was no regulation about network neutrality anywhere. It's true that the FCC and members of Congress have tried for years to get net neutrality rules passed, but even after the Google-Verizon deal, there are still no network neutrality rules because this agreement isn't law. Verizon will voluntarily abide by these rules, but remember, it's also an ISP with some of the fastest and fattest pipes around, so its concession is, for a better word, pretty trifling. As for selling out on the wireless net neutrality, Google notes that the discrimination on wireless is less likely because wireless is more competitive industry and because carriers are starting to allow open devices on their networks. Yeah, open devices that are still locked and still not really allowing to be open, Google. They also note that the wireless providers have capacity constraints that make network management more important for wireless operators. Yeah, we've spent billions of dollars. They've had billions of dollars in profits, yet they still have capacity constraints. They had billions in profits, folks. Yet they have issues. Whatever. You've got billions of profits. You should not have network constraints. Okay. When it comes to advanced network services, also known as managed services, Google defends its capitulation by pointing out that the company's framework has safeguards. First, the broadband providers must fully comply with consumers' protection and non-discrimination standards governing its internet access services before it could pursue any of these other online service offers. So let's read that again. The broadband providers must fully comply with the consumer protection and non-discrimination standards governing its internet access service before it could pursue any of these online service opportunities. So is that telling us that so long as they don't discriminate, what does that mean? What does that mean to you guys? To me, that's almost like doublespeak. They should be doing that already. Second, these services must be distinguishable in purpose and scope from internet access so that they cannot over time supplant the best effort internet. Third, the FCC retains full capacity to monitor these various services offering to intervene where necessary to ensure that robust, unfettered broadband capacity is allocated to internet access. You know, anyway, we know this has nothing to do with Google having Android, right? The final myth Google wants to debunk is that this compromise isn't about two corporations legislating the future of the internet. AT&T agrees. So how many more major companies do we need to get on board before this becomes, drops into some congressional lap and is put in place? So our two companies are proposing a legislative framework to the Congress for its consideration. We hope all stakeholders will weigh in and help this framework to move us all forward. We're not so presumptuous to think that the two businesses could or should decide the future of this issue. We're simply trying to offer a proposal to help resolve a debate which has largely stagnated after 5 years. And I agree completely with the summation here from GigaOM. Here, Google is playing the kind of semantic gymnastics that lobbyists deploy so well. Google closes by saying it hopes that this will help address some of the inaccuracies that have appeared about our proposal. And I think Google may have thrown part of its reputation out with the bathwater. I don't know what you guys' thoughts. You guys go through, read this article. It's a great one. Stacey Higginbotham did a great job on this. Well-read, very good points, and very, very close to matching the philosophy I have on everything I've read so far on Google's and Verizon's drug deal on this net neutrality stuff. It's, the reason we don't have net neutrality rules in Congress is because of these lobbyists. Just plain and simple. Now, not surprising, hey, I wonder how long it's been since there's actually been a protest at Google. Several grassroots organizations dedicated to network neutrality are planning a protest at noon tomorrow on Google Mountain View campus. The groups include Move On, Color of Change, Credo Action, and Free Press, who plan to protest at the search engine giant because it's teamed up with Verizon to put forth a legislative framework that has the potential to create a two-tiered internet by allowing ISPs to discriminate against web traffic on wireless networks while carving out special exemptions for advanced network services. So, you going to be in the Valley area? Want to go to Mountain View? Show up at noon at Google and bring a sign. If I was going to be in Silicon Valley, I'd bring a sign and protest. I don't think Google's ever been protested on, have they? This is new for them. Now, not surprising, and here's a shocker, Android sales surpassed BlackBerry. Google's mobile handset platform continued to gain market share around the world with a 17.2% increase of all smartphones sold in the second quarter running the Android operating system, outpacing BlackBerry. There's nothing there to this net neutrality agreement that ties back to wireless, is there? All right, Scoble has a good article. Map Wars. Have you guys checked out Bing's Maps? Have you guys checked that out? Apparently, Scoble was flying back from somewhere, and he was sitting beside some guy who, I love how he writes this. Last week on the way to Boulder, a guy was sitting next to me, and he had a Dell laptop. Ooh, with Windows 7 loaded. And was doing Outlook email. He says, I thought to myself, I bet he works for Microsoft. Hey, Scoble, I have a Dell laptop. I have Windows 7. I use Outlook for some of my email. Why would that automatically qualify the person to work for Microsoft? Okay. Anyway, turns out he was, who does licensing for Bing Maps. Anyway, so Scoble goes into this article and talks about some things that Microsoft doing. Now, here's something that's cool. Microsoft is actually doing a survey of the United States right now where they are, over the next 18 months, flying planes over nearly every inch of the United States, and they're already 10% done. So if you are out and about and you see an airplane that's flying relatively low back and forth, you can just about be guaranteed it's Microsoft. So I'm sure that before this is all over, that individuals who have, those that have gardens in national parks and gardens in the back countries where normally the Drug Enforcement Agency doesn't go, I'm sure there could be some ramifications to the pilots. I hope they fly outside of gunshot range. Oh, man. And they also talk about the better resolution on the cameras that the Microsoft cars use for Microsoft Maps as well. There's a new company out called Flatter. It's a micropayment startup. It's funded by ex-Pirate Bay associate. And this is pretty cool. If you have this Flatter button on your website and someone appreciates the work you've done, they can click on it and send you a micropayment as a tip. It's being started in the UK, so I don't know if it's available here in the United States, but it's where a person can give a minimum £2 donation to any kind of online content when a user finds something that they like. I kind of like that. I like the Flatter button. As I said in my last show, if every listener of this show gave $2, we could do $3 million a year. So, and I got a few email comments on that as well, but I understand people are in financial straits. I know some of you are in fixed incomes. Don't worry. I'm not telling you have to do that. Okay, so everyone stay calm, okay? Over on the Register, patent gate allegations denied by Apple. And remember last week where Apple submitted a patent and it had the picture of the app from FutureTap? Anyway, Apple is going to be making some changes to the patent agreement or patent application. They're going to attribute the screenshot to FutureTap, and they have publicly said the patent application question does not claim as inventive the pictured user interface nor the general concept of an integrated travel service application. So this came from a senior patent counsel at Apple, and they wrote to the founder at FutureTap. And but still, it's kind of discerning, isn't it, that they would actually do that? I bet you they won't do that again. All right, let's talk a little bit about space news. Spacewalkers have removed that faulty coolant pump in spacewalk number 2. It was supposed to be done in 2 spacewalks, but they were not able to, basically through some lines that caused them some issue on the first walk. They're going to finish up on Saturday and replace that faulty coolant pump. I mean, this is a thing that's pretty amazing. This thing is huge. I mean, it's like as big as a refrigerator. And you know they got like 4 of those up there? They got 4 spares? I guess anything as big as a refrigerator, you better have a few spares up there, because it's not like you can shove that in the Soyuz spacecraft. So they're going to put the new one back in. So they placed it in a storage location on the station. Can you imagine having an actual set-aside storage location for a refrigerator? Interesting. Definitely they got some space up there. All right, very sad news, of course, over the last couple of days with this plane crash on Monday that claimed the lives of five people, including former U.S. Senator. As you all know by now, Sean O'Keefe, a former administrator at NASA, was on board. Very fortunately, him and his son survived. They're both still in the hospital. Of course, we've probably all seen this on the news. But, you know, when you think about that, think about the odds of both father and son surviving. Of course, there's a lot of tragedy with the remaining families that lost loved ones. Of course, the dead U.S. senator or former U.S. senator. So hearts go out to that family and, of course, the victims of that as well. But in some instances, a tragedy and a miracle at the same point. But those folks that were out there that were the rescue personnel and the medical personnel that keep those folks, the remaining survivors alive overnight, they did a great job and should be commended. All right, moving on to a little more, I guess, litigation news. Viacom's billion-dollar lawsuit lives on. As we expected, Viacom is saying that they are very shortly going to be submitting an appeal to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit as soon as possible. And the company was not allowed to file an appeal when the opinion appeared because the judgment had not been officially entered the court, but apparently that actually happened yesterday. And today Viacom appealed to the second. Oh, so they actually had it ready to go. Or maybe they didn't. They just did the paperwork that said they were going to submit the appeal. So the $1 billion, the $1 billion Viacom lawsuit against YouTube/Google continues to trudge on. So we know that the judge in the initial ruling completely exonerated Google/YouTube. And, you know, for them, it was a great win. We'll see how it does in the Court of Appeals. You remember this U.S. copyright group? These are these knuckleheads that keep filing the peer-to-peer lawsuits. You know, that's a nice fancy word for a company, right? It should be We Sue You Group. That should be the name of their company. But anyway, they've withdrawn a couple of the initial lawsuits, and according to some agreements that have been previously made, and yet they're moving forward with the name subpoenas here directly. If you've been sharing some of those movies that they've been going after, they'll be coming for cash soon. This company is not going to give up. Hey, the BBC has this really weird article, and you guys know my stance on UFOs. But BBC has an article that says the truth is not out there. Well, I'm here to tell you there is something out there. I'm a times two having seen something. I guess UFO spotter, for a better word. And this guy starts out, let me be completely honest. I do not believe in alien UFOs. Nothing could persuade me that extraterrestrials are hovering above us or getting ready to drop in for tea. Then why is it that the British government is releasing tens of thousands of documented UFO statements? Why is it that Winston Churchill, during World War II, deliberately covered up a UFO investigation? Why is it that the United States has yet to release so many documents? Something and someone knows a lot more than has ever been revealed. But this guy goes on saying, this is a conspiracy. Everyone hears, you know, they're crazy. What do you guys think? Love to hear your guys' comments. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Number one, the question is, do you think we're alone in the universe? Number two, do you think we've been visited by UFOs? And number three, do you think that within our lifetimes or within the next 40 or 50 years, the truth will come out? Or number five, is it completely a scam and everything we've seen has been a figment of our imagination? I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on this. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. All right, those of you in the UK, hold on to your bank accounts. Any of those of us here in America, be aware that there's a new Trojan out there called Zeus. The Zeus Trojan is the most dangerous virus ever created and has stolen £675,000 from a British financial institution, and it isn't done yet. This is serious. 3,000 British customers between July 5th and August 4th have lost £675,000, or almost $1 million. The thefts were discovered after M86. I don't know who that is. I guess that's some sort of investigative group in the UK. Gained access to command and control servers in Eastern Europe country of Moldova. As for the money, M86 could not give an exact location for where it was going. Then others suggest that it was heading into the former Soviet states. So surprise, surprise. And this was all delivered via a Trojan. And basically, you log into your bank account. They owned you. They went in and withdrew your money. And then they put up a fake page to make you think that your money was still there. So this is bad. And guess what? Browser. Surprise, surprise. Internet Explorer was not up to date. And their virus protection was not up to date. And their Trojan detection software, not up to date. Get off Internet Explorer. Go use Chrome. Go use Firefox. Not to say that's going to protect you completely, but be forewarned. All right, this next product kind of disgusts me a little bit. iPhone Recovery Stick could help you find what you never wanted to see. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you got a significant other that you're a little worried about what he or she is doing with their iPhone, who they're texting, who they're talking to, what email's being sent, well, apparently this little USB device, the iPhone Recovery Stick, that's $197. You plug it into the computer that is being used to sync your iPhone, and I guess it tells you everything. You can check out text messages, call history, voice notes, calendar notes, contacts, map history, and most importantly, photos. Users can obtain deleted content, but it's not clear how far back you can go. But sure to square enough time to get what you're looking for it takes at least 20 minutes per gig for recovery. $197.95. I'm sure these things are going to sell like gangbusters. These things are going, they are going to flat out have a run on them. Now, you don't have to tell me who you are, but if you buy one of these, I'd love to know how well it worked. You can send an anonymous email from an anonymous email account, but tell me how well it worked if you used one, okay? A John Doe who fought the FBI spying freed from a gag order after 6 years. And really what this was an internet service provider who was basically told to disclose a bunch of information about a customer. And he had said no. And the letter had come from the National Security Agency, I guess. And, oh, it came from the FBI. It was a national security letter in February 2004 demanding a record of one of his customers. He filed a lawsuit challenging it. It doesn't go on to say what they got or what he gave up, but he has been forbidden to talk about this for 6 years. So there's some discussion in this about what he's been able to say, but this is a good read here. I'm going to tell you, if you're doing something and the government wants to know what you're doing and they have a warrant and they have something to do with national security, you're done. You're done. And you're probably going to go to jail. Now, I knew this. I didn't need a study. They could have paid me all the money that they actually spent on this study. You've heard it here already. I've talked about this before. Here's the title. Video quality less important when you're enjoying what you're watching. The video quality may be crappy here. I got terrible lights. The internet sucks. But yet, you're watching. All right, video quality less important when you're enjoying what you're watching. I know you guys are enjoying what you're watching, right? What you're watching. The findings come from a recently released study, The Effects of Content Desirability on Subjective Video Quality Ratings, authored by Philip Cordham, a Rice professor in the practice and faculty fellow. The study appears in the Human Factors Journal. I've always said that this content, I know how this content is being consumed because I keep getting emails on it. Many of you right now are looking down at your laptops. You're watching the show on your Roku, or you have it playing in a second monitor. You've just looked at the monitor, watched me for a few seconds, and man, that video sucks, but I love the content, and you went back to your work. I could have done this. They could have just called me and I told them this. All right, last article of the night before we wrap up here and get into voicemail and email. And it's a little shorter show tonight because I started preparing this a little earlier. And I'm just absolutely beyond jet lagged. And yes, I primed tonight with a Red Bull. But robots are going to be an escort on the space shuttle mission to up to the ISS. NASA is set to launch Space Shuttle Discovery from STS-133. On November 1st, the mission will deliver and install the permanent multipurpose module, the express logistics carrier, and also provide critical spare components to the International Space Station. But they're going to be taking a robot with them. And the robot is called R2. Robonaut 2, R2. I'm sure they couldn't use R2-D2 because that probably Lucas would have wanted a fee for that. But the STS-130 crew will deliver Robonaut to the International Space Station, cocooned inside an aluminum frame and foam box cut out to its shape. R2 is heading the space inside the permanent multipurpose module. R2, with its human-like hands and arms and stereo vision, expect to perform some of the repetitive or more mundane functions inside. Yes, inside the orbiting laboratory to free astronauts for more complicated tasks and experiments. Now, I thought this thing was going to be on the outside, but it's on the inside. I got to see this thing in action. Designed by NASA and General Motors as a robotic assistant for astronauts working in space, R2 looks like the upper torso of a sculpted bodybuilder and is topped with a helmet that includes two cameras to give it three-dimensional vision plus other sensors. I would almost said this was an April Fool's joke, but we're not in April. NASA will hold the third shuttle launch to tweet up, and I actually got some email from one of the listeners on that. If you want to go to the Kennedy Space Center, I can't go when this is going on, but they're going to select 150 of its Twitter followers to come to KSC to tour the shuttle, see the launch, basically get behind-the-scenes look. Yeah, this is a perfect opportunity for those of you that are NASA fans to get to. You have to pay for your own travel. They're not paying for you, but you got to commit to going. This is going to be cool. It's going to be on October 31st. And again, 150 of you are going to be able to go. I'll have the link up in the show notes. Actually, it was covered in an email from one of our Ohana as well. All right, let me go ahead and fire. You see how this video is going up and down? I can tell that the light is having, or the camera's having fun with the light. I'm sure that's been annoying. Let me go ahead and play the voicemail. I know this came from Tom in Chicago because I listened to a few seconds of this, but let me turn the volume up because I know he was a little low. If you've got comments on today's show, call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. And of course, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Here we go on Tom's comments from Chicago.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling from Chicago. Hey, I just listened to show number 600. I want to just say congratulations on reaching that goal. I think I picked up the show, maybe show number 100 and something, I don't know, 12 or 13. But more importantly, I wanted to say thank you. You mentioned on the program that you don't get a whole lot of thanks. And I just want to let you know that, you do so much for the podcasting space and the new media space that last week I just made the jump, moved all my content off of a hosting server on the Blueberry, and I'm really excited. I bought a Roku box and actually was able to watch my podcast or listen to it online. I think it's awesome what you're doing, and I don't think I'll ever get to the point where I'll get any money back from the advertising buys, and that's fine. I'm not in it for that, but I do want to support those that are true podcasting and new media advocates, which you are. And just a little preface of where I come from. Took a year of broadcasting in college, realized that, you didn't need a college degree to become a radio broadcaster, and decided to go into something that would make a little bit more money, but always had that love of broadcasting in the back of my mind. And I think it was like 2005 or 2004 that I thought, I'm trying to bring the industry I work in together on a weekly, weekly format, rather than every month you get a magazine or newsletter or whatever, and had purchased a book on internet radio, I think, and it had already been, the book that I purchased on internet radio was probably, I don't know, maybe 2 years, 3 years old, and stumbled upon podcasting similar to how you did, and then found your book. And that book was the roadmap to me putting my show on. I've got over 200 shows. Have really brought, you know, really built my my name. People value what I do, similar to what you do. Although I don't make any money at it, I'm not really in it to make money. Would be nice, but that's okay. Maybe someday. But I've accomplished my goal in trying to create a family of, in our industry, of people that come back listening, and I'm very happy with what I've done. So, hey, so thank you, thank your team. Thanks for everything you do. Keep on plugging along, and I am there. I'm part of your. I'm a paying customer now, and I'm really happy that I've made that switch. So this is not a paid endorsement, but just wanted to take the time to thank you. I'm sure many people feel the same way that I do, and that's about it. So keep on doing it. When you come to Chicago, if you're ever able to come out and grab a beer, I will be happy to buy you one. All right, Ty, you take care. Keep plugging along, and thanks for everything that you do. Take care. Bye-bye.
Wow, I tell you, that. Thanks so much, and I'm going to pass that on to the team as well, and I need a pin here to deflate my brain. And, you know, I guess, Tom, you know, when it comes down to it, the number one thing I hear back from all content creators is really they just, you know, this audience – it gives me an outpouring of love and support that is unbelievable. And so for me, for this show, I get immense satisfaction from that. And I think what happens, though, oftentimes, and I tell those of you that listen to other shows, you know, make sure you thank your content creator. You know, don't blast me with emails. Email the other podcasters that you listen to and tell them how much you appreciate their show. That in itself, at times, when a show is smaller and has a smaller niche audience, will carry a guy for months and months and months. Just the simple thank you, love your show, love your content, keep up the hard work, I'm listening. That is a, you know, is an essential part of an audience. And I hear it all the time from guys that say I get no feedback from my audience. And I go in because I have the accessibility to look at their stats. I think, man, he's got a great audience. Why are they not responding? And I don't know why some audiences do and some audiences don't. But please, you know, as all of you that listen to other shows, you know, thank those that you just said, all it takes is thanks for the show. That's all you got to say in the email, and that's a big driving thing. It really, I wouldn't have made it to 601 shows without the continual incoming feedback, good, bad, indifferent, you know, praise, hate, the whole nine yards for the show. When, so far as it comes to Raw Voice, I understand that the content creators are so absorbed in trying to make their show work. I know they are appreciative, and a number of the show producers send us comments on a regular basis. You know, I think it's just a good business practice, too. If you're doing business with someone, you know, I won't say what we do for, never mind, I'll just stop. It's just, you know, it's good business practice to have a good interaction with the folks you do business with on an often basis. And again, my comments from the beginning of the show stand. And those of you that come in late, you guys don't understand the whole context of what I'm talking about. I'm not going to repeat it. You'll have to listen to the beginning of the show. But thanks, Tom, for those comments. I do appreciate it. And thanks for being really a part of the Ohana as well. All right, let me go ahead here and make sure I'm on the right segment. All right, I got an email from Andrew, and he actually is one of our contributing editors at Geek News Central. He said, hey, Todd, the Parasid meteoroid is looking pretty good tonight from the UK. Just out in the garden there for a few minutes and saw five or six, including a couple of good ones. Try and get out yourself that there's no clouds. Yeah, I got clouds here. Oh, that might give away part of my location. and for those of you trying to guess, it's still not dark here. Got an email from Bree. See here, Todd. The quality of the second Insider video is much better than the first Insider. The information, both personal and instructional, is very interesting. The video quality and color is wonderful. One thing I humbly post to you and to all other podcasters who are all now doing video casting is that you all control any personal mannerisms. Oh, For example, I see some podcasters scratching their ears, their back, rubbing their noses, and yawning. These personal actions are distracting. At least you are going professional, so you need to copy television commentators. They do not do any of this. Now you can get me for this when and if I start podcasting. Finally, Bree, thanks so much. And you know, the other night, I know where this came from. Show 600, I had an itch, you know, and I kept itching it about five times. It's okay, Bree. Thanks for the scolding. I appreciate it. But yes, I know. But you know what? Most of these guys are working full-time jobs. They're putting in 8-10 hours, and they come home and do their shows, and they're yawning because they're tired. Okay, I got an email here from Glenn, and Glenn's out of Toronto. He says, first of all, congratulations on Show 600, remarkable milestone. One tip for podcast listeners. You commented listening to all of your shows went up to something on the order of 31 days straight. About 8 months ago, I realized that my weekly commute was just too long, just not long enough to cover all the great podcasts I was trying to listen to. The solution was to use a 2x speed playback, which is support for podcasts on the iPhone. This has been a blessing, allowing me to get in all the great content produced every week. Thanks again, and keep up the great work, Glenn in Toronto. And he's actually got his website's binarysearchtree.com. So that's cool, Glenn. Make sure you put that, you know, put those links in there as well, so I can, all of you that send emails. I can't listen. I've tried to listen to 2x, and my voice is really deep to begin with, so I'm sure it sounds good at 2x speed. got an email from Clinton from Comedy Forecast. He says, hey, Todd, on the Bill Gates video, he says, yikes, no seatbelt. For those of you that watched the Bill Gates video on that CNET article, were you blown away that he wasn't wearing a seatbelt? I wonder what his insurance underwriter thinks of that. He was in a limo, but for God's sake, he's Bill Gates. You know, what if some dump truck blows an intersection? Or, you know, a tire blows out? No seatbelt. Plus, come on now. He needs to set an example. Yeah, as someone said in the chat, he probably owns the insurance company. I guess as a billionaire, he can do whatever he wants, but I was blown away. I really was. I got an email from Leslie, and he says, I'm a 71-year-old retired teacher of computer tech, and that's part of the reason I'm not paying again. Understand, Leslie, don't worry. He said, I'm just listening to 600th podcast, and was very surprised to hear that you only had 3 suggested emails. I suspect it's because people are busy with other concerns, and sending in one thought is something that is easy to neglect. It's not a good sign that your listeners are not highly motivated to give you feedback. While it could mean every listener is completely satisfied, I would assume that too quickly. You need more data. Yes, I once studied statistics. And here we go. I love this. I've listened to most of your shows for over a year and found them very informative. It's like listening to a friend, a very knowledgeable friend, and I've learned a lot. Thank you. You are a lovely man. My comments. Your show is great for me, but too long. Even though I'm retired, I find over 60 minutes at a time is too much to give it my full attention. Suggestions, break it into 2 segments and release it 4x a week. You don't need to do 4 individual sessions. Just do 2 at a time. Probably my favorite podcast is CNET's Buzz Out Loud, which is about a half hour, which they've lost their host. And it's refreshing to hear the interactions among the 3 to 4 participants. I listen to some of Leo Laporte's shows, too. Neither of those may be your style, but the shorter time frame is something I hope you'll think about. Leo's shows are an hour. While your personal comments are part of the charm of the show, I could do with a little less. Say limited to 5 minutes per show. You're a great person and nothing is offensive. It's just that it takes up more time than I usually want to invest in your show. Shorter would make the show more useful. It's a classical situation where less is more. Financing a podcast is a serious need, and your appeal for donations are not as frequent and protracted as those of some other podcasters. Nevertheless, I think it will take more creativity on the part of all podcasters to find the ideal and productive mix. There is a lot of competition at tech podcasts, and it won't be easy. Some will give it up as a bad job, and I hope that you won't be you. Oh, no. I won't. Don't worry. The sponsors support me well, and I'll definitely... The goal, again, was to have additional people on staff. Nothing I've written will stop me from continuing listening to your shows. I hope that you're not insulted. Not at all. This is certainly not my intention. By the way, I use an Android Magic phone with Google Listen. Since I'm on Rogers Canada, it's still running 1.5, but there is some hope of an updated to 2.1 in a month or two. Leslie in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. And this is why I love Ohana. They just tell me straight up the way it is. I love it. Thank you, Leslie, for the show. You know, over the years, I received maybe that many, and I flash my hands 5, 10, 15, 20, maybe 30 times, people ask me to short the show. But whenever I say that, there'll be a groundswell of email that will come in and say, don't you dare. So it's this, you know, it's this twisted thing. And believe it or not, when the show times are shorter, the numbers go down. It's a weird dynamic. It really is. So I hope that you'll break up the show in a couple of days of listening. Hit pause or remember the spot that you were listening at and then come back to me. Maybe listen to the first 15 minutes of just me jabbering and then stop and then come back the next day and listen to something else. I'll have, you know, again, I know what's going to happen on response. And believe it or not, the show started at 45 minutes and has grown to an hour and 15. And it just always seems to work out that way. And maybe it's just because I've gotten so used to the timing. I got an email from, and Leslie, thank you so much. Got an email from Gary. He says, NASA will give 150 Twitter followers an insider's look at the space shuttle during a tweet up at the Kennedy Space Center for October 31st. Through November 1st, attendees will tour the center, view of the shuttle launch, and speak with NASA managers, astronauts, shuttle technicians, and engineers. Registrations open at noon on Tuesday, August 24th, and closes the next day. So I'll keep reminding you guys that this will come. I'm going to tag this as a star. Gary, thanks for that so much as possible. Got an email from David in San Francisco, says, hey, Gase not wearing a seatbelt. Got an email as well saying, hey, congrats on 600. And that's it. That's all on email here. So I guess we're wrapped up. Hour and 10, so we're 11 minutes, so we're short tonight. All right, but hey, thanks so much. Thanks so much for hanging out with me, and we'll be back in the studio. Having the portable studio on there, I hadn't dug in the box in a month, so I was digging stuff out. How do I hook this thing up? I hope the video has been good on Ustream tonight. The bandwidth here has been horrendous, so I appreciate those of you for hanging on Ustream, and hope the video was okay on Heroku. I'm sure I'm going to hear feedback on that. Someday I'll figure out some time to make these lower thirds smaller, not so gaudy, but I am really graphically inclined, not. But everyone, thanks for hanging. I appreciate it. Hey, Mom's out there on the Sherrycast. Thanks, Mom, for hanging. You know, we were talking about the other day, we haven't done a Sherrycast in a long time. And that is a... what are we going to do about that, Mom? I don't know. We're going to have to talk about that. But anyway, thanks for Mom listening and everyone else. It's on the Ustream channel. And we'll see you all next time. Everyone take care. Be safe. Be good. Have a great weekend. And be back with you in the studio in Honolulu at our normal broadcast time, 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time or 11 p.m. Pacific or 2 a.m. Eastern. If you're a night owl, come hang out with me. Or if you're in a different part of the world, we'll be prime time for you. Everyone take care and see you next time. Aloha.